I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, by way of invitation. This is another occasion where the Apostle Paul is defending himself as an apostle, and specifically here with regard to his right to be supported in the work that he was doing. So he says in verse 3, "My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working?" So this idea, of course, again, it always was the case that he was being mistreated as they were opposing his teaching by casting aspersion upon his person, that he was doing this for gain and the support that was being offered to him or that he received from time to time was him, in effect, preaching for money. And so he was arguing against this, but he indicates the authority that he had as an apostle. And by the way, this is something that would extend to preachers of the gospel to be supported in the work that he was doing. And so he uses in verse 9 the statement, "It's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? There's a principle that's established there. The work that is done, the individual has the right to be supported in that work. He said, verse 12, "If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right." I want to emphasize that because of what he says in a moment. But another argument he makes in verse 13, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple?" So he uses the priests of the tribe of Levi as an example. Those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. And he uses that principle to again emphasize the right. Now, this is the conclusion he makes in verse 14. "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." So that's a principle that has been established. It is the basis upon which the congregation here offers to support me in the work that I do. But notice in verses 15 and 16, and this is significant with regard to our purpose in this invitation. He said that, "I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done to me." Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not telling you this because I want money or that I'm going to take money from you. That's not the purpose of it. I don't want anyone saying that I'm doing it for the money. And this is the way he puts it. He said, "It would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void." So when he says his boasting, it is his contention as to his purpose and motivation in the preaching of the gospel. And he ends with this statement in verse 16. He said, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I read that passage and I'm always amazed at not only the extent of his motivation, but how that motivation to preach God's word impelled every aspect of his life. I recognize that not everyone gives themselves over to preaching the gospel full time. I recognize that that many of you have secular jobs and other works that you do. And so I'm not advocating that same type of involvement in the sense of time. But what I am suggesting is that we all need to have that same motivation, to feel compelled to share the good news with those who are in the world. It is our place. If we don't do it, it will not be done. And for us to grow as a people, and we're not talking about individuals who might come into the area and relocate and become a part of our congregation, but actually numerically grow as the people of God. It can only be accomplished as we proclaim the message to a lost world. And so it is imperative that we be active, that we have that motivation, that desire, and to take advantage of the opportunities that we have every time that we have an opportunity to share the message to others. If you're here this evening and not a Christian, we share that message with you. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. His life that he lived on this earth was a perfect life. His death that he died was a sacrifice for your sins. He died so that you would not have to die spiritually for an eternity. Because his blood was shed for the remission of sins, those who believe and are obedient to his will be saved. That's the promise that we all have. And it's a promise that you can realize this evening if you will respond to the invitation call. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. You can rise and walk in a new life as a child of God, having your sins taken away. We offer that hope to you this evening. We ask that you respond to that invitation call while together we stand, while we sing.